Richard Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. We can't do this without you. Would you kindly send all things wretched, and that's a lot of stuff on the internet, all things wretched, send to idea@wretched.org. If you would like to communicate via the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
We certainly did get a lot of wretched things sent our way this week.
I don't know what to think about that.
I don't know which one to start with, but I'm going to start with this one. This is a text from Brian. Todd, your beloved pipe organ and the bagpipes are the same instrument.
No.
They both produce...
No.
You want me to stop?
No, they're not the same thing.
They both produce a note by air being forced through pipes and altered by valves under the player's fingers.
Okay, that doesn't make them the same thing. One sounds like somebody's murdering a herd of cats. The other one is majestic and lofty. And the Bible's only ordained instrument in the church. Do you see the word bagpipe in the Bible? And the answer to that is no. You see neither the word bag nor pipe. Do you see the word organ? Yes. Like your guts. Like splagnidzomai. It's there. The word compassion actually means your guts are moved. Clearly, it's talking about the pipe organ. So thank you for trying to diminish the grandeur of the pipe organ by comparing it to a... comparing it to a bagpipe. 877-282. Now I'm all sour in here.
I've got more.
Oh, good.
I'll hang on to them for later. This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, regarding your new booklet, Play the Man, I would like to give them out. But as a woman, I wonder about the appropriateness of doing that. I certainly wouldn't be comfortable if a young man wanted to talk about the subject matter. Mm. Have any thoughts?
Yeah. For that reason, I think that might be a bit odd and just uncomfortable and perhaps even inappropriate. Could a woman hand out these cards? I think obviously every woman would have to determine their comfort level. I personally would say I don't think it's wrong to do it. As long as you just hand it to them, especially if you're a woman and you don't want to engage because the subject matter, of course, is pornography, then just give it to them and be done with it. Oh, just read the booklet. Go to the QR code. What is it? Oh, go to the QR code and leave it at that. Now, if you're a dude, you might find yourself in some conversations. I say take the opportunity. Now, if you're too nervous about doing that, then the same rules would apply. Just give it away. One word will do. Here. That's it. You want to go crazy? Two words. Get this. And then you have given them the gospel. Hundreds already are. If you would like to participate in our Play the Man giveaway campaign, they're free. So is the shipping. This is a good deal. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/playtheman.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, I recently fell into sin. How should my attitude be? I feel like I ruined the progress I made and I need to start over in the fight. Is that the right mindset or should I see my failure as just a bump in the road of my walk since I'm born again?
I wouldn't see it as any of that. I wouldn't see it as a start over, go back to go. No, that's not the way sanctification works. Sanctification is more like, well, I guess these days the stock market kind of looks like that. It goes up and down, but it's the trajectory. It is on the up, sort of like pricing, house pricing. Basically, you know, it goes up, it goes down, but ultimately, year after year, it goes up. Same thing with sanctification. Don't think that you go back to zero. Besides, your bank account with God never diminishes. That's a staggering thought. The righteousness that has been credited to you, courtesy of Jesus Christ, doesn't go down when you sin. You are given it completely, and you're a new creation. So what do you do when you stumble and fall? Well, you do what the Bible says. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then get back at it. Simple. Thank him for his patience. Thank him for his grace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. And then just get back on it. Don't become debilitated. Don't feel like you are no longer inside of God's family, that you no longer have his favor. That's not the way the true and living God works. When you are in Christ, you're in fully. You are immersed in everything that is Jesus, all of his righteousness, all of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his love. You are encompassed by it totally and completely. You didn't get yourself in. Your sins can't get you back out. Ponder that, and it's going to help you in your battle of sin. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I am convinced that my husband and father of my children is a false convert. I am continually heartbroken over it. He comes to church most Sundays, but there is so little evidence of a genuine conversion. Mm-hmm. He's 56 now and has been a professing Christian for literally decades. What can I say to him? Should I keep praying and encouraging him, or should I just outright confront him?
Don't know the dynamic of your relationship. Obviously, those are options for you, but I think wisdom should be applied. Before we dive into that, let me perhaps make an observation. When you're so close to somebody, you see the underbelly. That's what you get in family. You see the sins. You see all of the dings that they have because you're so close. So just a word of encouragement to maybe at least understand. You're probably seeing, now it shouldn't be this way, but it's the reality because we're so close. We see everything about one another. So you get more of him than other people would. You see what would be the deficiencies more regularly than other people would. So maybe, just maybe, your perception. Now, I'm not saying that he's not a false convert. I'm not saying he is a false convert. I'm just saying it might be a little bit difficult for you to judge. And I say that so that you might have hope that he actually could be. So now we get to, how do you determine that? And I think the answer is you need help. You need input from others without turning it into a gossip fest or a bagging on your husband fest. Who would be the people to go to for that? I think the elders. Share with, say, hey, I want this to be confidential. My view could be cloudy. This is what I see in my husband. And let them speak into it. And it might be an issue where they say, you know what? We're going to spend some time with your husband. We're going to jump in. We're going to see what's going on there. But in the meantime, they might encourage you to look for good fruit. Look for, so you might be overlooking them because you're so close. Again, I'm not rendering a verdict. It's not my place. Nor am I trying to dissuade you from your current conclusion. But I am saying that it might benefit you to receive outside input. They might just be seeing things a little bit differently. And then let them get involved, because if they come to the conclusion, I think we're dealing with a false convert, then it is right for them to jump in and to work with him, to help him understand the gospel and to lead him to a clear understanding of the gospel. Can you do that? You could. Do I think that you should, like, husband, let's sit down. We need to talk. I've noticed you only read your Bible this much, which, by the way, you got to be careful with that. It is not uncommon. It shouldn't be, but it's not uncommon that the woman in a equally yoked relationship is more mature than the husband is. That is not uncommon. Be careful of that too. Could you approach him to bring up your concerns? Yeah, but I think I would be inclined to really do it wisely. There's a way of doing it without pointing a finger. For instance, go listen to True and False Conversion by Ray Comfort. Get Don't Are You a Rotten Fish in the store here at Fortas Institute. Hey, I was reading that. Would you read? Tell me what you think about this. Hey, let's listen. I've heard this sermon called True and False Conversions. True and False Convert. And True and False Somethings from Ray Comfort at livingwaters.com is excellent. Let's listen to it, dear. Then you don't have to be accusatory. Then you're teaching and you're revealing to him there is a classification of a professing Christian that is false convert. And he can hear that from somebody besides you. Having said all of that, could you still sit down with him? I would suggest if you're going to be patient in this, let Are You a Rotten Fish or True and False Conversions, let that do the heavy lifting for you. If you're not seeing the needle move, you still have your concerns. You don't want to talk to your elders. You want to do it yourself. Just be super loving. Honey, I've been studying this subject. What do you think about this? I've been looking at this. Would you be willing, dear, to point out to me if you ever think that I might be a false convert? In other words, try to be sensitive, loving, and respectful. And this, I don't care what gender you are. That should be the approach. Remember, we're trying to get somebody out of a trap, and you don't yell at an animal that has been caught in a bear trap. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched.
Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Important dates in Christian history. 1738. John Wesley's conversion eventually leads to the founding of the Methodist Church. Although he had no intention of forming a separate denomination, Wesley's followers left the Anglican Communion and founded churches throughout England and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That's right. You're listening to a perfect talk show host. Isn't that redundant, Friel? This is Wretched Radio. Thank you, Jimmy, because what I heard you say
that's
is
what you
I handled it perfectly. Not exactly the way it went down. I, during the break, said, Jimmy, would there be anything that you would add to the woman who's concerned that her husband could be a false convert?
Mm-hmm.
And you said,
I don't think
it was perfect.
That's what
you nailed it. You crushed it. Nothing. You squeezed it out like a grape. You squeezed. Did I tell you? Maybe I did. Oh, I hesitated. In fact, I'm even hesitating about telling you about my hesitation of what I said in a sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church.
Uh-oh.
It was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did I share this? Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Okay. Talking about the squeezing that takes place with an olive press. It's an amazing device. And, you know, once again, look at a device like that, we would see it as being rather archaic. There's no lights. There's no on and off switch. You know, it needed to be turned by a beast of burden. But this thing wasn't stupid. Think about a bit like a big round table, maybe 8 feet in circumference, with a lip on the end. And it's made out of basalt. It's made out of limestone, whatever the available rock is in your territory. So it's a basin, if you will, because it's a flat surface and it's got a ridge around it. Then they also then take a smaller, it'd be like 2 to 3 foot big, heavy stone round, like think like a tire. And in the middle, there would be a hole to put a fulcrum. And on the one end of the fulcrum, on the outside, of course, that would be where you would attach the beast of burden. But on the inside of the fulcrum, you would put more stones, more weight, to maximize the amount of pressure that the olives receive as the beast of burden then rolls around the press. The big heavy stone, which they think that the Garden of Gethsemane press was about 3,000, maybe 3,300 pounds of pressure, squeezing the olives. That's what an olive press would do. And yeah, it's symbolic because Jesus was in the garden of the olive press and he was getting squeezed spiritually by the Father. Got to be careful with this because it's a bit mysterious. Jesus was being punished for the sins of his saints that he was going to save invisibly by the Father, crushing him spiritually. Most likely, that was far worse than what he endured physically on the cross. That is what Jesus endured. He got pressed. Just by the way, I learned something about olive pressing in preparation for that sermon. When they put olives down and they press it the first run, that would be considered extra virgin olive oil. It's the first pressing. But to maximize the productivity of the olive, they go around again, and then that produces a lesser quality, like olive oil. Then the next would be like for lamps. Then the fourth or fifth run, it would be for anointing, or it could be medical, whatever the tiers were. But it was based on how many times the olives have been pressed. So that then inspired me to ask the question, if you were an olive and you were about to be pressed, what would you do? What would you do? How would you be feeling if that heavy stone, the 3,300 pounds of crushing power, were rolling toward you? How would you react? Let's see how Jesus reacted, because he received a greater pressing than any olive, than any person who has ever endured something horrific. Jesus received worse. He was pressed in the garden of the olive press. And let's see how our brave, courageous, strong, loving Savior reacted to the pressing that he got. And if I'm recalling now, this was a couple, 3 weeks ago. It's fascinating to see the effect of prayer. That, okay, Jesus was getting pressed. He's bleeding sweat from his forehead, most likely, because that's where that hyperhidrosis or whatever it's called, which has been verified, it's been witnessed. It pours out of the forehead, from the scalp even. What was going on there? He was being pressed spiritually by the Father. What does he do? He falls on his face and prays. Then the mob comes and we see his interactions with the disciples, and he's not snarky. He's not scolding and chiding. He's not mean to them. Instead, he's patient with them. He's still teaching them. And then he sees the lights coming of the mob of give or take about 600 people from the Roman cohort and the temple priests. And what does he say? Let's go. And then he engages them. How does he do that? Judas, friend, do what you came to do. Peter lops off the ear of Malchus, the high priest. What does Jesus do? I am probably picked up the ear off of the ground and reattached it to the man's head and healed him as an act of kindness. Why? Well, you couldn't serve in the temple if you had a body part missing. He was probably protecting Peter from getting arrested because, remember, he was not going to lose one of them, and it was just an act of kindness to them. And now, how was Jesus able to act like that when he was getting pressed by the Father? And I think the answer is right in the text. He was praying, 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 praying. If you're getting pressed, pray. I know it's hard. I know you don't feel like it. You maybe don't even have the strength to do it. Do it. It will give you strength. I think that's so vivid in the text that Jesus was able to endure the pressing. He was strengthened through prayer, and it gave him peace, and it allowed him to be loving toward the disciples, loving toward his betrayer, loving toward those who came to arrest him. The power of prayer. If you are being pressed, pray. When you're done with that, send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org or text questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I've heard people say that God has told us 90% of what we're supposed to do with our lives in the Bible, and God won't tell us the last 10% until we start obeying what he's already told us. Is that true?
I've never heard that before. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for 90% of your life. The other 10%, God will tell you. Well, that would make an extra biblical revelation to boot.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah. So, no, you got everything you need in the Bible. Everything. Now, does he disclose the details? No, not until they happen. We got to live, and we live in real time. So you're not going to know exactly what God's plan is. You're not going to know exactly how to apply his truth until you arrive at that moment. And furthermore, we don't need to know those things. We don't want to know those things. We don't want to know those things. I think about knowing your death date. You want to know that? I don't. I've thought about it. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I know Tim McGraw would say, well, then you can live like you're dying because you are and you know the death date. But I don't need to write a bull named Fu Manchu. I just want to be godly day by day by day. And knowing that I'm going to die, it should always be a present fact because it's going to happen, that drives us and compels us to be fit for heaven and to be productive while we're here. But if you knew the date, you would make wonky decisions and you would be counting down to your death date. Yeah. What about knowing all of the illnesses that you're going to, would you like to know the next Tuesday you're going to get food poisoning? Would you like to know that? Or it's going to happen no matter what. So how's about that? While you're eating that chicken with pesto with I think it was a fusilli noodle, you knew, oh, I'm putting the food poisoning mechanism into my body because I've been told I'm going to get food poisoning. You'd hate that meal, and you'd be inclined then to try to find your way around it. It's good we don't know everything, but we know everything that we need to know for life and godliness. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kevin. Quickly, Todd, my friend doesn't believe Jesus is in the Old Testament. How can I help?
He doesn't? Jesus Unmasked is a book that would be helpful for that. You could Google typology. You could Google types and shadows. I'm sure there's lists on the internet to show all of the fuzzy pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament, starting in Genesis 3:15, the promise of the seed. Then there's the promise of the seed to Abraham. Then there's Abraham and Isaac. There's the sacrificial lambs. There's the Passover lamb. Jesus isn't in the Old Testament. He's everywhere. Unless, of course, you go to Andy Stanley's church. You would never know that because they've convened. Oh, check this out. It wasn't Andy's church. There's a church not far away from us here in Alpharetta, Georgia. Get ready for this. Is the biggest oxymoron. This is just, it's like, what? The church is taking a Sabbath from doing church on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The left's war on immigration enforcement has escalated to actual sabotage. Four activists were arrested in Los Angeles for planting homemade tire spikes to disable Border Patrol vehicles. The spikes were made by piercing nails through garden hoses, and they were discovered during a raid at a Home Depot parking lot in Van Nuys. Two of the arrested were identified as day laborer advocates with a nonprofit that claims they were merely observing. But the Trump administration isn't just defending immigration enforcement, it's cutting off the financial incentives that fuel illegal immigration. The Department of Education just ended a Clinton-era rule that allowed illegal aliens access to federally funded tuition programs, saving taxpayers roughly $40 billion. Education Secretary Linda McMahon made it crystal clear, if the federal government funds post-secondary education, it should benefit American citizens, not illegal aliens. The battle for women's sports is producing real victories as three Oregon teenage girls file a Title IX lawsuit against their state for allowing trans-identifying men to compete against them. The girls refused to compete against a biological male at a track meet in April, a decision that caught the attention of Riley Gaines, who encouraged them to take legal action. The teens told Fox News they were inspired by the online clash between Gaines and Olympic gymnast Simone Biles, particularly the overwhelmingly negative response to Biles' attack on Gaines. The America First Policy Institute is representing the girls in what they call a landmark federal challenge. Well, Pentagon leadership is finally cleaning house, withdrawing the nomination of a rear admiral for promotion to vice admiral after the Daily Wire revealed he commanded the USS Ronald Reagan during taxpayer-funded drag queen performances. The Justice Department has taken even more aggressive actions against the transgender medical industry, issuing nearly 20 subpoenas to doctors and clinics performing transition procedures on children. DOJ's Chad Mizell announced the investigations will target healthcare fraud and false statements, urging Americans harmed by these practices to come forward. Government reform accelerated this week as the State Department prepares to lay off over 1,500 employees following the Supreme Court's decision to lift lower court blocks on federal workforce reductions. Meanwhile, the Biden administration's cover-up continues unraveling as former President Biden's physician pleaded the fifth during congressional testimony about Biden's cognitive decline. The investigation examines whether aides improperly used auto-pen signatures to conceal Biden's condition, raising serious questions about the validity of executive actions signed during his presidency. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
But of course, this is Wretched Radio. I thought it was one church that took a Sabbath from Sunday morning worship. How many levels of ignorance is that? But it turns out, according to Jimmy, Wah and La A bunch of churches took a Sabbath from the Sunday morning service.
They did.
On a holiday weekend.
That's right.
So it wasn't just some church here in Alpharetta.
No.
This must have caught on.
Yeah.
This became the latest trend.
That's right.
We'll take a Sabbath from the Sunday service. No, actually, you're commanded to do just the opposite and not forsake the assembling of the saints. And why is it always on a holiday weekend? Isn't it funny that it's all, and then for Chris, there's some Christmas services that don't get held. And, or, oh, I know, Super Bowl. There's another time you need to take a Sabbath from the Sunday service. It happens to align itself with a fun activity or an extended weekend for the pastor, frankly. Ay, ay, ay. If evangelicals are nothing else, we're trendy. And there is another pernicious trend. Taking a Sabbath from the Sunday service. Okay. And then the justification for it, as I understand it, it gives all the volunteers a break. It gives them all a little bit of a rest. Okay. I see that it would do that. But volunteering shouldn't be something that is burdensome. It should be a delightful participation in the life of the body of the local church. Furthermore, if people need a break, then rotate them. But to cancel church so that the Sunday school teachers can sleep in on a Sunday and then you try to sanctify it by calling it a Sabbath? Oh, man, Scylla. Idea at wretched.org if you've got something wretched, or please text questions, comments, conundrum, snarks, 877-282-2337.
So Brad has something wretched. He texted in and said, Mr. Friel, I just saw a Lutheran church sign that said you can't spell Imago Dei without D-E-I.
Without D-E-I.
Because that's how they spelled.
Oh, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
Right. And you wonder why the ELCA is going out of business and having to sell their glorious St. Paul campus, their seminary campus. That stuff, it ain't working. Just from a strictly pragmatic standpoint, the liberal Protestant approach to Christianity, it is failing. I wonder if you got together with some of those folks from the ELCA or if some of the Methodist circles, what's the long-term goal here? Because I'm just looking at your numbers and it looks like your legacy money better last for a long time because you're bleeding all over the place. And it's not just Lutheran, sadly. It's all of, just about all of mainline Protestantism. The only churches that are growing are those who are being biblical. The churches that are growing are standing firm. They're more liturgical, not dull and drab, but orderly and lofty, which, you know, reflects what we think about our God. You want to go out of business? Just go the way of the liberals. You want to grow? Be biblical. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, recently I've been going through a rough patch spirit.
You know, hold on a second. Deus aum. That's the word for God.
Mm-hmm.
So we used God, even though it was in Latin, to make a DEI plug.
Yeah.
Okay. That alone is kind of blasphemous, wouldn't you say? Mm. Sorry, I digress.
From Anonymous, recently, Todd, I've been going through a rough patch spiritually. I'm doing what I can to make my way back to God, to a good place with Him, including reading my Bible and praying for help. But I've seen a lot of people say that reading your Bible shouldn't only be transactional and that you should read to understand God. So I'm wondering, how can I change my mindset when reading my Bible from a transactional purpose to understanding and learning purpose?
Okay, practical, slow down. Then interrogate your Bible. And I think the key question is, what does this teach me about God? What does this tell me about the Lord? And spend some time. Don't take a big bite of your Bible and swallow it like, down it goes. Chew it. And that takes some time to ponder it, to ask it questions. What's going on there? What does this say about my God? That's the chief question. What does this say about me? What does this say about the way that I'm supposed to live? Here's another way that your Bible reading can become less transactional. Pray your way through it. read something about God and then talk to him about it. Just talk to him about it. You pick any example. Okay, just because we all know John 3, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Lord, thank you for being so loving. I so don't deserve this. I just, it staggers me that you would love the world that hates you so much that you gave your only son, and thank you for him. Thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for being obedient. Thank you for being a volunteer. Thank you for taking on human flesh. Thank you for leaving your throne. Thank you for granting us righteousness. I think you get the point. And then go read your next verse. And you can read about the reprobate in 17. So there's, and then talk to God about it. And it will become less transactional. It'll become more informative. And you'll probably be praying better because you're going to be guided by God's word. So slow down, chew, and then just keep asking, what does this tell me about God? And if you're a preacher, might I encourage you to ask that question of your text? We're not going to do this week, next week, maybe. I received an email from a young man who's going to become a pastor asking about these things, about a sermon and what it's supposed to be about. I happen to also be reading simultaneously Preaching That Changes Lives by Mike Fabares. And I think that this is where so much really smart preaching falls short. It doesn't ask the question, what does this tell me about God? Oh, it maybe teaches me a lot about God, but what does this tell me about him so that I could see him as even greater than I currently do? That, I think, should be the goal of a sermon, and it certainly should be the goal of our Bible reading. So slow down, take your time, interrogate it, chew on it, pray it, and you will find yourself just engaging with it more naturally. And as the years go by, you're going to be less inclined to kind of weigh, what are my motives here? Because there's going to be times when you just plain read it. Okay, is that ideal? No. But obedience is better than neglect. So read it. And then here's the circular part of it, which doesn't mean it's wrong. If you don't feel like reading the Bible because it's become transactional, read the Bible and it'll become less transactional. It's better that you do it out of delight. But if needed, do it out of duty. Either way, you will benefit. 877-282-2337.
You said pray the scriptures?
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's a resource available that can help with that.
Well, let me know if you think of anything, Jimmy.
There's one by Kenneth Boa.
Oh, Ken Boa.
Yeah.
Praying the scriptures.
Praying the scriptures.
Yeah, for intimate worship. That's I think is what it's called. Yeah, available at FortisInstitute.org. Can I just let you in on a little secret? Don't buy that book now. Wait a couple of weeks. We're clearing out the warehouse. We're clearing it out. You'll get a really good deal. Trust me. But don't tell anybody here at the ministry you heard it from me. 877-282-2337.
You will get in trouble.
I suspect that anybody who runs a business would hear us and go, you people are idiots. You're just dumb. Well, yes, we are. But that's beside the point. We just want to give stuff away. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're closing the store. Thanks to our gospel partners, we're just going to be giving everything away. And then so we're to clear out the warehouse starting August 1st. The whole month is going to be dedicated to just clearing out the warehouse. And then after that, we won't be... I'm not sure what we're going to do about booklets. I think we might turn them into the QR code like we're doing for Play the Man, but I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do about those. But we just don't want to sell anything anymore. We want to be able to give it away. It's such a beautiful dance. I hope if you're a gospel partner, I hope you're encouraged by this. If the Lord has provided for you means, excess means, you're not in any unmanaged debt situation. You're giving to your local church and then you're kind to us. Okay, then we do the work, but so that we can give it to other believers who benefit from it. And then they, as they have means, they give so that others, and it's just this beautiful little dance that takes place. The Play the Man campaign, same thing. The gospel partners give We take it, we create the resource to give it away to people who will give it away on campus. Come on! Come on, that just doesn't get any better than that. Just love that sort of partnership. So I guess this would be an appropriate time to encourage you to consider becoming a gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org/donate. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm just going to let you know, don't buy anything in the store for a while because it's going to be really cheap in just a couple of weeks. This is Wrenching Radio, and I am not Joe Biden.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young men struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Looking for something edifying and beneficial to do this weekend? We've got you covered. This is Wretched Radio. I'm so excited that Transform Season 4 with Dr. Lou Priolo. It is done. It is glorious. It is so helpful. It is so compelling. I mean, it's really good TV. But more than that, you're going to learn stuff that will enhance your relationships, most likely with your spouse, but also with your kids and everybody else with whom you come into contact. It is amazing. It's Transform Season 4, and we're dropping an episode every week. So I think the next episode 2 drops on Monday. So you've got this weekend to watch episode one. It is a couple that was, these are real people. These are not paid actors that came into the studio and he willingly admitted, yeah, I cheat on her. Like regularly. Oh, and to watch this devastated woman and then to watch Lou Priolo engage, it's such good TV. So if you're looking for something to do, go to FortisPlus.org. It's free. Don't worry. It's not a subscription model. Jimmy, I've been told we kind of biffed it with the Fortis Plus thing.
What?
I didn't understand. I don't understand the app world. When we decided we're going to put just all of our stuff for free, well, except the resources, which will be free starting August 1st. But it was going to be on the Fortis Plus app. Mm-hmm. But the word plus indicates it's a subscription model. But we're not. We're a free model. So we might have to change the name. I'm thinking like FortisFree.org. Well, it's, you know, because people maybe just don't go because they think they're going to have to spend money. It's free, courtesy of our gospel partners, FortisPlus.org. You can see Transform Season 1, Episode 1. Ooh, and all of them. And what the couples that come in, I'm telling you, you would see them on Sunday morning and go, they're fine. Mm-hmm. They're doing well. They've been married a long time and the kids are doing pretty good too. You know, people are struggling. Transform Season 4. Free at FortisPlus.org. And as long as you're at your computer, then you can send all things wretched to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is a text from Josh. He says, dear Topical Todd. That's the only reason I'm reading this question.
So would a topical sermon also apply to a sermon? I'm just saying something like when unity becomes an idol.
Well, I did preach it out of the...
Share with the class what happened on Sunday when you were preaching.
Oh, man, that was terrible.
Well, besides your sermon.
That's what... Now, that was the best part. So I'm, what, 4 or 5 minutes into preaching?
Yeah.
Electricity goes out.
Completely dark.
Yeah, and I'm standing there like a deer in headlights.
Just probably the computer screen glow.
From my iPad, yeah.
Are there any windows at Foothills?
Not in the sanctuary.
Oh, man. But, did the exit lights go on?
Probably, but the people jumped up.
Say they did, otherwise the fire marshal is going to come visit.
They did, but people jumped up and opened the doors.
Yeah.
So the light from the outside would come in, open the doors to the sanctuary.
Yeah, and satisfactory air conditioning, I'm sure, flowed in too.
No, it was warm. 250 people
in
the dark.
You should have taken a Sabbath.
No.
Hey, everybody, Sabbath from the sermon this Sunday. See you at Cracker Barrel, and now you're done.
Now, they told, I asked after a few minutes, I said, okay, what's the protocol? What do we do? And they said, keep going. So I screamed. I screamed the entire time in the dark.
I bet it's about 250.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a room. So you did it in the dark.
I did it in the dark.
But you brought light.
Oh, there you go.
Through your preaching.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
That just got blicky.
Okay, back to Josh.
Back to the sermon subject, yes. Which was?
When unity becomes an idol.
And your text was?
Was out of John 17, 11 through 23.
Clearly topical. Go ahead on. Go carry on with your email. And you're rather snarky.
I didn't say it. Josh said it.
He said, Josh, your snarky title, Topical Todd. One time. And it was a continuation of the week's sermon that happened before where we did work through that. One time, Josh.
What exactly, Todd, is the purpose and role of angels? I know they do the work of God, but if he's all powerful and omnipresent, why can't he just do it himself?
He can, but he uses messengers. The Bible is replete with stories about angels. They're ministering spirits. They're actually made for us. They're very powerful. Something Samuel. We see one angel killing 185,000 Assyrians in one night.
Whoa.
So keep that in mind. When Jesus said he could call down 12 legions, so 12 times 6,000, 72,000. He could have called down 72,000 of them. He would have won. Their power, the death angel, taking the lives of the firstborn in Egypt. They are very powerful. And it's not Psalm 110. that's stuck in my brain because that's in our part of our sermon this weekend, where we're expositing the gospel of Matthew and not just preaching on one little verse in the dark. We pay our electric bills at our church. Okay. Whatever you got going on up there at Foothills. The psalm, or is it Isaiah? It's in the Bible. It's the picture of these ministering spirits. They're staring at God. And again, maybe not real, but whether it's actual, this is a physical descriptor, or it paints the picture of the relationship and the dynamic between God and the angels and us. It's like the angels are surrounding the throne and they're looking at God, like staring at his mouth, like, come on, tell us, just give me the go. And they will fly to our aid and rescue. What a glorious picture that is. I don't know, did I share this week? Because I think it was last Sunday's sermon. Maybe I did, but it's worth repeating. If you're feeling like, yeeks, what is going on in the world? And you could ask yourself the question, why isn't God sending his angels to minister to me? I need help right now. Why isn't he sending them to assist me? If they're staring at his face, just waiting for the command, why doesn't he give it for me? We go back to the garden. Jesus could have sent angels. He could have petitioned the Father, send them down, but he doesn't. Why? Because something bigger was going on. Something more was happening there, the redemption of sinners. And so the angels did not intercede. And I think the principle of that is when God doesn't send his angels, when God doesn't perhaps answer your prayer the way that you want to for safety, for finances, for health, relationships, it's because he's doing something that's even more important. Just like with Jesus. And you can take comfort in that. Because your God doesn't do things to you. He only does things for you. And if you are needing angel support and he's not sending it, it's because he's doing other business with and around you that is bigger and I'll say even more important than whatever the struggle is that you're experiencing. Be encouraged by that. He's doing stuff. Suffering, frustration, pressing. It is never for naught for those who are in Christ. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kyle. He texted in, Todd, should abortion be criminalized?
Yes.
Next.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I get it because I understand. And there are some, I think there's some educational issues that need to be considered for a season. If the statistic is right, I think it is 60 to 80% of women say that they're coerced into abortion. They don't want to, but they're forced to by a boyfriend, a husband, a father. So I get that, but it's still the intentional taking of an innocent human life. And if we're going to make that against the law, well, then there should be a punishment for that. It's the taking of an innocent human life. I get some of the emotional complexities to it. I understand it. And I think we need to be thoughtful and discuss that in detail. But we would never ask the question, should rape be illegal? And you go, well, yeah, of course not. Why? Because it's really clear. Abortion gets cloudy because you do have that 60 to 80% stat. You do have women who maybe don't want to, but because of the issues and the pressure. I get that. But then we need to be a society that's better. If there's a woman in that position, we're going to help because we love babies. We love children and we want them to live. So should it be criminal? Yes. How that gets rolled out, I think in time, it could take a little time to get there. But I do think that should be the destination because it is, by any other word, murder. Jimmy, I've got an email for you.
Okay. So
that I know how panicky you get when we get short on time here. Todd, I heard you mention food poisoning today on WHCB. They're one of our new affiliates in Florida. My daughter's babysitter. Okay. So you do with this medical advice as you see fit. My daughter's babysitter used to promote taking charcoal powder in a glass of water for an upset stomach. She tried it. Game changer. Now we keep charcoal capsules on hand for us and our puppy dogs. All right, so there you go. If you ever eat chicken with pesto and a fusilli noodle, make sure you've got some charcoal on standby. Trust me. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.